Bible says that'll be one eternal day.
Amen.
There'll be no night there. There'll be no sun. There'll be no moon. Scripture says that the in that city that Jesus will be the light.
Amen.
And thank God for that. And that's, what a day that'll be. I'm like Brother Bob. We can talk about heaven, read about heaven, sing about heaven, and hear heaven preached, but we don't really know what God has in store. But I believe as much as we read, as much as we sing, as much as we preach, and as much as we try to comprehend and imagine, I believe heaven's going to be all far greater than anything we can ever come up with in our own life. And I'm so thankful that. I'm glad to be in God's house tonight. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me, if you would, just for a moment. Over to Revelation chapter 5, real quick, and we might say a few, read this scripture, and by the help of the Lord, maybe bring some things out, I usually try to, I pray and get to kind of, Lord helps me and gives me the direction to go, and I usually try to write down a bunch of notes, but I don't have anything written down other than just a scripture, so, and I don't mind that at all because it all comes from heaven anyway. And I know there's times I write stuff down and don't even really refer to it, because once the Spirit gets moving, you just go with the Spirit, and that's all you can do. The Bible says this. John writes in Revelation chapter 5, and he said, "And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.' And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne," thank you, sis, "and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and four and twenty elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.' And I beheld, and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that is slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever." You can be seated. We didn't intend to read the whole chapter, but there it is, all 14 verses. But as we find here and we look at this scripture, as John begins to see some things. We all know tonight, and I hope you have studied it out, but in case you haven't, maybe you can need reminded, we realize and understand tonight that John was exiled on the Isle of Patmos because of his testimony for Jesus Christ. I mean, that's why he was there. He was there because society didn't want to hear him, and he was there because it was against the law to have a testimony for Christ, and they had excluded him, and they had put him in a place somewhere on this island, island of Patmos, to exile him away from society. But while he was there, God sought him out. I'm glad that so the world can count us as outcasts and they might put us away, but I'm glad wherever we are, God can find us. And we realize here that, as it was when John was there, that the Lord come by and began to reveal some things, told him to write them down. And so John, in his fifth chapter, he's writing down some things that he saw. And what he saw was that God had a plan. God had a book that no one could open it up. No one. The Bible says no one could even look at it. I mean, it was so precious and so holy that they couldn't even look upon it. And what he saw was there began to be weeping. He said, "I wept much
Because there was nobody worthy, not only to look at or not only to take it out of the hand of them of he that sat on the throne, but they weren't worthy to open it up, and they weren't even worthy to look at the book. But we begin to find that he's as he's there and he's writing these things down in this heavenly visions that he's seeing, and all these things taking place, that all of a sudden as he began to weep, there was one that come to him and said, John, you don't have to weep, because God has a lamb that's worthy to come and take the book out of the hand. Not only is he able to take the book out of his hand, he's able to open it up. He can look at it because of what he's done and what was accomplished. And listen, and as he began to see all these things, he said he took the book, and all of a sudden in verse 9, and it says that those, all those that were in heaven and all those that had believed in everything that John saw, he said they began to sing a new song. Hey, listen, and the thought that we had tonight was, how long has it been since you rejoiced in your new song? Hey, listen, I begin to think, and as we begin to go in life, and I don't know about you, but as for me, sometimes I'll be going through a day and there'll be a verse or maybe a line of a song that I just can't get out of my head. And it'll go over and over and over. I've laid down in the nighttime and listened and tried to go to sleep, and there'll be things in my head going over a song or something, just going over and over. And I've thought sometimes, Lord, how am I going to get this out of my head? I got to sleep. There's things I got to do. I got to quit thinking about this. Listen, and there's sometimes I'll begin to go, this is just me personally, I'll go back from the start of the song and I'll just sing it in my mind all the way through, hoping that that when I'm done, that maybe it'll just be over and out of there. Listen, and that sometimes that works and sometimes that don't work. And listen, but as John began to see these things happen, hey, listen, he saw all these things taking place in heaven. Hey, listen, he saw all those that worship God. They began to sing, but they weren't singing these same old songs. They weren't singing those songs that they had heard in the past. They weren't singing about the... Hey, listen, I begin to look in the Bible. You realize when they come through the Red Sea, the Bible says that Miriam... Hey, listen, and those that come out of them draw to the dry ground, and they walked out of the Red Sea, that they... I began to sing a song. They weren't singing Miriam's song. Listen, I began to think about what David did. Listen, when he was a king and when he established the house of God, and when they were gathering there, and he assigned the musicians, and he assigned the singers, and he assigned the porters, and he assigned all those that took care of the things of the temple. And he called the Levites, and they took care of the things that pertaining to God inside of the house of the Lord. But we find in the days of David that David wrote a song, and it was the first song that was to be sung on the beginning of every day. It was the song that was to be sung outside of the house of God. It was the same song, but they weren't singing David's song. Hey, listen, they were singing a brand new song. They were singing the song, hey, listen, of salvation that no one had ever sung before. No one could sing this song until Christ Jesus took the book out of his Father's hand. And he began to open it up, and he revealed the plan of God through his own precious blood. And then they sung, as it were, a brand new song, not the songs of the past. I'm glad today that as long as we live in this life, we're in year 2019. And I'll say this, that every individual that gets born again will sing that same new song. I'm glad that the song that we sing never gets old. You realize tonight, if you are saved by the grace of God, when the Spirit stirs you inside, that new song that you sung on the day you were born again is still as fresh and is still as precious. It'll never grow old. It'll never wear out. It's still my favorite song. It's the one that God has put inside of me. It's one I sung when I got born again. You might say, well, what is it? Is it Amazing Grace? I don't know. Hey, listen, it could be whatever it is when the Spirit comes by and touches your heart. Hey, listen, and stirs you. And I was sitting and listened to the Murray family this morning, and they began to sing. We all know them. We've all seen the Murrays over the years, and they still sing a lot of the same songs they did years ago. Every now and then they'll get a new one. We sing out of the church hymnal. Brother Bob, he sings out of his book. Many of them are those same old songs. You might say those are the same old songs. But hey, listen, when you get the Spirit of God mingled in there, and the next thing you know, the Spirit falls and listen, as it were, down from heaven and begins to just bless and pour out through the songs that we sing, then all of a sudden that song that's being sung is a new song. It just touches your heart. It stirs you inside. Hey, listen, it reminds you of what happened. We look in the book of Revelation here. What did John see? He said when all them began to sing, hey, listen, they just begin to worship God. They fell down on their knees and they said, "Worthy is the Lamb of God, for he has taken the book and he has opened the seals." And listen, and they worship God. You might say, well, what does it mean for me to sing a song? How long has it been since you got down and was able to worship God? I'm talking in spirit and in truth. How long has it been since you poured your heart out? How long has it been since God has overwhelmed you? How long has it been since, hey, listen, you just cried the tears of joy and it didn't seem like they were ever going to stop, but it didn't really matter because you were just thankful and happy for where you were. Hey, listen, these folks here that John saw in heaven, hey, listen, they were just praising God in the beauty of everything that he had done. Hey, listen, they were giving him glory for his majesty. Hey, listen, and the things that he had accomplished for you and I that no one else could accomplish. He is worthy to be praised tonight. God's worthy to be praised every day of our life. And I believe that people that only come to church, and I'm like, Brother Bob, I know individuals in life, they've sat and told me, well, I go to church 2 times a year. That's my goal. That's not a very good goal. Hey, listen, if you're going to church 2 times a year, you're failing your soul. You're failing in life. You're failing your spiritual man. You are failing in eternity. Hey, listen, I'm not talking about being sick and not being able to go. I'm not talking about, hey, listen, circumstances that hinder you and keep you. But if you're able and you, hey, listen, have the ability and God visiting somewhere down the road, God's put put somebody somewhere who's, hey, listen, a church somewhere that's worshiping. He's got a place where you can get to where the Spirit of God's moving and flowing and lost people are getting saved. By sitting home, you're doing yourself absolutely no good whatsoever. But I'm glad we can gather in a place and God will give us a new song. I didn't realize how good the song was until God let me sing it for myself. I want to say that and I want to remind you this. Y'all remember when you was lost? And if you're lost here tonight, you can relate to this right now. You remember coming to God's house. Maybe you've been in this church and you've seen people shout, rejoice. We had some shouting, rejoicing this morning. And the whole church was coming together and the Spirit of God fell. And hey, listen, the songs were sung and we rejoiced together. And there was times when I was lost and I saw that happen and didn't really mean a whole lot. In all honesty, sometimes it kind of scared me. But then when God gave the song to me, it didn't scare me anymore. And I was able to rejoice because the song that was being sung and the song the church was rejoicing about, all of a sudden I was able to rejoice in it with them. And it wasn't a foreign thing to me. It was not strange. And it wasn't different. It's different than the world. But the people of God know exactly what it is. And I'll say to this today, tonight, that the new song that we sing is still foreign in the world. They don't understand it. They didn't understand it in John's days. They didn't understand it in the days of David. They didn't understand it, hey, listen, in the days of Moses. And what the sad part is, Israel and most of the old Bible never fully understood the goodness and the grace of God. I believe that's when John began to see these things. He saw that everything that had happened, but he saw that plan that God had that was sealed. And it broke his heart because no one could open it. No one was singing that song. They had the law, but it wasn't to the saving of the soul, to the redemptive power of God. The Bible says the law was a curse because it brought them to the knowledge of sin. And they realized that on their own, they all fell short. Even the Bible tells us that plainly. It says, all your righteousnesses is as filthy rags before the Lord. And Christ told him in one scripture, he said, there's none worthy, no, not one. The Bible tells us that. Paul wrote to him and he said, we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. And there's none righteous. So when John was seeing here, what was he seeing? He was seeing there was none righteous. You say, well, I might get in. No, you won't. Without God, without Christ, you won't get in. Let me remind you, there was none, John said, that could go and take the book out of his hand. That's There was not one that could open it. They weren't even worthy to look at it. He said, I wept. Because the seals couldn't be loosed. The plan couldn't be opened up. It couldn't be revealed. But then Jesus came. And he accomplished in his life what no one could accomplish. And I've said that before. He was born like no one was ever born. He lived like no one ever lived. He died like no one ever died. And he rose like no one ever rose. And he sat down at the right hand of his Father. And he took the book and he opened it up. And John said, I saw him singing a new song. And they were praising and they were worshiping. All that was in heaven, all that was in earth. Hey, listen, everything in heaven, everything in earth, everything beneath the earth, the whole world, the whole universe was rejoicing and praising God. And the Lamb that was found worthy. I'm glad when God allows us to come together and we can sing our new song. Because there's a lot of times when we come in and it seems like there's just nothing. Over the years, I've been in instances I know that you have, and Brother Bob has given his salvation experience, and probably there were times we'd go to some churches, and we're not trying to knock anybody either, but there are churches all over the land tonight that they're gathering together. And they don't even know what it is to be singing a new song. They plan God out of everything. They plan the service. They plan God right out of the service. They planned him out of the singing. They planned him out of the message. And they've got everything lined out on their own. And they're so little concerned about what God has to say about it that they're going about their own way. Apostle Paul said, one scripture, he said, they've established their own righteousness. Listen, he said, they established their own and they've got their own form. It's a form and a fashion. He said, a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. There's power in the Word of God. There's power in the Holy Ghost. There's power when we come and we submit ourselves under the leadership of the Lord and we just allow the Spirit to move in the house of God. Then we can sing our new song. We're not leading the song. God's leading the song. Sometimes we get, who's going to lead? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? Don't worry about what the pastor's going to do. Don't worry about what the song leader's going to do. Don't worry about who's in the choir. Let's just all come together and be willing to do what God would have us to do and let God lead the service. We can all sing our new song. We can rejoice in it. We'll go home and we'll look back tomorrow and we'll say, man, God just blessed and I'm so thankful. And then, instead of the things of the world, instead of those things that bother us, then we'll ponder upon the things that happen in God's house. Think about the joy and think about testimonies that remind us. And then we'll, next thing you know, we'll be praying for our brothers and our sisters. And we'll be trying to help one another. Those that are in need, we'll be trying to help. And we'll be doing what God would have us to do. Be about the work of the Lord in our life. And that's really where we need to be. And while we're doing it, I found this to be true. And I'm going to come to a close. I never even thought about this. But I've often found whenever there's a job to be done, if I start singing a song, I just work through it. And the song you sing, before you know it, just helps you go along your day. Singing the songs of God, meditating upon the God. Christ told him, he said, meditate and pray. And I said this before, if we ever got an example of someone who prayed, look to Jesus, because he prayed all the time. And if we ever get in life and things get too hard, all you need to do is just meditate upon the Lord. God will put a song in your heart, and you'll be singing. Next thing you know, you'll be about the task and be about the business, and things just get better. Things are better in your day. Things go better in your day when you meditate upon what God's done for you. You think about those things. And it's good to sing our song. And we ought not let the world hush us. And we ought not be ashamed of our song that the Lord's given us. We ought to be proud of what God's done for us. And we ought to tell the world about what he's done. Certainly love him tonight as they come. We thank the Lord for the church. We thank God for the services today. Let's all stand to our feet tonight. If you're lost, I know that the message probably seems strange to you. You might say, well, I don't have a song. I believe that every child of God does have a song. You've got something in your heart that just, you know, it just stirs you. It just moves you. And it brings you to remembrance. I mean, really, that's what a lot of songs do. They try to stir your remembrance of things and get you to remember things, get you to picture in your mind what's being sung about.
Maybe some songs remind you of something that happened in your life at a particular time. They bring events back to you, and you ponder upon them, and you can see them, and you think about how good God was through them, and those things are special. And when we gather in the house of God and the Spirit stirs, that'll remind us of what God's done for us and how good He is and how much He loved us and when He saved us. And I'm thankful for that. But if you're lost, you don't have a place like that in your life. You're just out in the world and you're singing the old things of the world. Let me say this tonight. The new song that God will put in your heart will be precious to you from the day you get born again all the way to the day you leave this world. It'll never get old. It'll never get tired. You'll never get tired of it. It'll never wear out. But it'll bless you. It'll help you in the low times and the hard times. It'll encourage you when you need encouraged. It'll strengthen you when you need strengthened, when you're weak. For surely Jesus said in the Scriptures that I'd go with you even to the end of the world. He said, I'll be with you always. And He is. Part of being with us is that those reminders that He gives us, that encouraging that He gives us, support that He gives us, the new song, that song that He puts inside. They were rejoicing and singing the praise. They weren't singing anything. They were saying this song was centered around what Jesus had done and accomplished. Those are the songs most precious to me, as the songs about Jesus and what He's accomplished, about His blood, about the cross. I know there's a lot of good songs in church, and I know there's a lot of good old songs that we sing. And I've heard songs about moms, I've heard songs about dads, and they're precious, surely they are, don't get me wrong. Boy, you sing a song about what Jesus did for me. Sing a song about Calvary, sing a song about the blood, you sing a song about the love that He showed when He didn't have to. That'll stir you inside in a deep place, because you know that He didn't have to die for you, but He did it because He loves you. He'll remind you how good He is. And then before long, you'll be praising Him. You'll be thanking Him, and you'll be rejoicing in Him. Because He was the one worthy. He was the one that brought it down to man. This plan that God had opened it up. God opened it up. Christ opened it up. And it's ours as a gift, freely given. You got to take it, receive it, accept it. Once you do that, you can rejoice in it, you can live it. Well, God's good tonight. Have a testimony thing on your heart tonight.